Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Mark with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 34, ending in verse 38, where we see that to be a disciple of Jesus, we must be avid learners of who he is and active pursuers of being more like him each day. Jesus didn't just call his 12 disciples to be pursuers of him. He called the people around them as well. And he calls us today to do the same. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Mark chapter 8, verse 34.
Jesus is going like this. Do you want to walk with me? See, I just don't feel led to teach it tonight like I would if it weren't 2020. And what 2020's been, maybe I'm learning the Lord more. Because I feel like it's not like a threat or like, hey, do you want to follow me or don't you? I feel it's more like, hey, do you want the blessedness of staying close to me and having companionship with me? The one who will stick closer to you than your brother? Lo, I am with you. Aren't you thankful even unto the end of the age? Hey, pastor, is this the end of the age? I think. Maybe, but you know what I love? He goes like this, I'm with you. And then he says, do you want to be with me? Whosoever will, do you desire that tonight? Come after me, not from behind, but next to me. Whosoever will hold my hand in this journey. Whosoever will be a companion of mine. Enoch, he walked with God, and then he was not, for he was taken. Don't you want that to be your story? Like you were just walking with God. Hopefully then we're just taken. They can make a whole new sequel to Taken, the movie. It would be even more crazy. You know, we're just gone. It would be amazing. There's this invitation to walk in closely with Jesus. Listen, it's an all-volunteer army here that he's enlisting. Okay, that's what he's doing here. And now he's going to give us this, here's how you do it. Here's the steps to how you come after me and have this fellowship with me. Number one, verse 34, let him deny himself. He says right after that, number two, and take up his cross. And those two are closely knit together. They're both in the aorist imperative. So it's this, you make this decision and you do it. This is a call to like a decision of finality. This isn't like a wishy-washy, I think I want to walk with him. I just don't really know. I can't trust Trump. I can't trust Biden. I can't trust Fox. I can't trust CNN. No, he's not in those categories. There is a God, and then there's everyone else. Great theology. And the name of God is Jesus, by the way. Okay, that's how this goes. There is creator, and then there is created beings. That's all of us. You don't lump him in with Fox or CNN or ABC or any other news channel or politician of the world. I don't care if it's the Middle East or Asia or the United States of America. He stands alone. He stands alone. So this is a thing of, settle it. This is a thing of, don't be double-minded. You're not out to eat trying to figure out what you're going to order. Settle it. He's calling you to make a decision. He's calling me to make a decision. If you want to enter into this type of fellowship with me, he says, I'm asking you then to make a decision and have some finality with it. And then he starts to here speak to us of denying ourselves. It speaks of to refuse, the word deny, it speaks of to refuse association with, to refuse to be in companionship with. That sounds bizarre. To refuse association with myself. To refuse companionship with myself. Listen to this. It even means to disown. To disown myself. The idea here that Jesus is after is you get off the throne of your heart and you welcome me to occupy the throne of your heart if you want to have fellowship like this with me. You don't have to. I don't play King of the Hill, Jesus says. I'm not going to get down to the bottom of the hill and let you sit there and run up as hard as I can and see if I'd knock you off. I'm a gentleman. You want me to take that seat in your life, that place in your life, then you got to welcome me to it. I want to walk with you. I want to guide you. When you're crying in your room at night because you are so afraid of all of these things that you're getting bombarded with on social media and on the news, I want to be there for you. I want to give you hope. I want to give you strength when your marriage is faltering. When your kid has a problem and you can't fix it, I want to be these things in your life. But listen, if we're going to have this type of intimacy, if I'm going to be the great I am the way that I seek to be, then the number one thing you got to do is get off the throne and let me take it. That's what he says to us here. You got to make this decision. You got to make this decision to get off the throne and to get Jesus this access to your life. And then he says, not just deny yourself, but also take up your cross. He's talking about this denial of self. Not self-denial. There's a difference between self-denial and denial of self. You know, self-denial is like what athletes do. It's what actors do when they have to get in a certain shape before a movie. There's this self-denial for the betterment of themselves, for the advancement of themselves, for the aggrandizement of self, to make myself larger, to make myself bigger. There's something that's motivating me to deny whatever it is that I'm denying, food or whatever it would be. Like, I'm taking up my cross. Cross is a means of execution. Cross is, they would hear this, cross was the road to death. Cross has taken on a whole other meaning in our culture today, and there's nothing wrong with that. It speaks to us of what our Savior died on for our sins. But like that would be like being told like an electrocuting chair. Like you know, that's what he's speaking of. You're going to die. Like there's a death you're attached to this. He's speaking of this death that's got to take place. And he's saying here, it's not just self-denial, but it's denial of self. To make ourselves something, not only just that, but also, you know, this desire here, just to be the Lord over my own desires and affections and passions. He says, that's got an end. And then there's this call to follow me. You know, you see that at the end of verse 34. So it's not just, you know, this gloom and doom of, if you want to come after me, deny yourself and take up your cross and death. But he also says there's this pursuit of me. It's in the present tense. It's different than the other phrases that were given to us in that it's moment by moment, day by day, follow me. I think more Christians got to do that. Starting right here with myself. Following Jesus, letting him govern us. I don't know if maybe I should have said that. I don't know if maybe I should have tweeted that. I don't know if I should have maybe responded differently. That, you know, let him govern us. As we follow after him, Lord, is this in keeping with you? Is this in keeping with your nature, with your heart, Lord, on the matter, on what's going on? At all times, Lord, is this how I glorify you best? You understand? We got a lot of know-it-alls here. No, we do. We got a lot of know-it-alls here. Don't even want to hear this part. I'm challenging you to walk this out. Our church will be a lot healthier if you weren't such a busybody. Our church will be a lot healthier. You know so much scripture if you put feet to your faith. Our church will be a lot healthier if I would choose what Jesus would choose in that moment. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That's the following of Jesus he's calling us to. Not just lifting our hands in worship and singing a song and being a part of this social club. But there's this effort that he's calling. This takes effort. If you're going to follow after Jesus moment by moment, day by day, well, then now all of a sudden you're going to think twice before you say certain things, before you respond a certain way, when your attitude's off. It's a lot deeper than just being saved by grace and having fire insurance so when you die, you go to heaven. This takes a lot of energy. This in the natural could be exhausting. Not that his yoke is heavy or anything or his burden is heavy, but in the sense of, man, if I'm going to really try to please God and honor God and follow God, Jesus, the person, well, then, man, I got to really care about what he cares about. How do you have a marriage? Like, you don't just talk to your wife or your husband on like certain days. Like there's maintenance there. You gotta keep in touch. You don't just fly by the seat of your pants and do what you wanna do when you wanna do it. Maybe you do, but your marriage probably stinks. Maybe you're married by, you know, a piece of paper, but you're not living that way. See, Jesus is saying that to you and I. you might be saved. You might one day when you die, you go to heaven, but you're not like experiencing the intimacy that I've designed for us to have. It's heavy. But he invites us, if we want this tonight, and he's not imposing himself on our will. He's just saying, do you want this? What's your desires? I deleted a lot of texts after spending time with this verse. I had a few texts today I was going to send out, and then I'm like, oh, I'm trying to follow Jesus. You guys know what I'm talking about? I always got something to say, just so you know. I got a sore on the side. I bit it so hard at one point today. Because I got something to say. If I'm going to try to follow Jesus, I can't just say whatever I want to say. I can't just respond, even if I know. Because you know something? Sometimes it doesn't glorify the Lord. Sometimes it glorifies the Lord to not say anything more than it does to say something. We all got to be careful that, us Calvary Chapel people, if you're visiting from a different church tonight, you got to pass, but us that are here, we are in the Word so much, we can become know-it-alls. And we got to be careful that we're not always just jamming things down people's throat because we've learned, we've been enlightened, we know, and now we're getting like hostile with the gospel. Deny yourself, take up your cross, speaking of death, humility. My gosh, humility. You know that the Romans didn't let any Roman die by the cross? It was illegal. You know how the Romans executed the Romans? They beheaded them. It was illegal to crucify a Roman. It was just such a humiliating, just despicable. It was the most despicable means of death. The Persians invented it 1,000 years before Christ, but the Romans mastered it. I mean, essentially, the person is suffocating on a wooden beam. And they've been beaten and mocked and really, I mean, the lowest of lowest of lowest of criminals died that way that were not Romans. So when Jesus said, you got to take up your cross, that wouldn't just speak of death to them. That would speak of humiliation, humility. But listen, as Bible students, what do? We connect the dots. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord does require of thee. That's not an elective. Like you get to see if you want to sign up for this or not. This is what he requires of thee, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Do justly. Oh, the government, the police. No, you do justly. You love mercy. Jesus said mercy triumphs over judgment. You start asking God to put it in your heart to want to see people not get what they deserve. That's mercy. You want mercy? Then meet mercy out. Give mercy out. And then walk humbly. Walk humbly with your God. Hey, he says, you want to be a follower of me. Taking up your cross involves being humble, being lowly. I don't think you can be intimate with Christ if you're arrogant and prideful. I think that's going to be one of the first things that he goes after. He's going to break that pride down. Pride is the handle to all sin. Arrogance and pride, I, me, man, it will ruin you. There's no place for that. Y'all with me so far? So he says to anybody who wants, hey, whoever wants this, whoever desires this, you want to walk hand in hand with me, you want to be by my side, you want this opportunity to have fellowship and communion with me, you don't got to wait till Sundays, you don't got to wait till Wednesdays, you don't got to fret, what if the church closes down? We can have this no matter what, Jesus says. Here's how you do it. You deny yourself, you take up your cross, settle it tonight. It's aorist imperative. It's something you got to do, and you got to do it now. You can't worry if your girlfriend's doing it. Can't worry if your husband's doing it. Can't worry if your kids are doing it. Can't worry if your parents are. You can't worry if your pastor's doing it. You do it. If anybody wants to do this, you do it. This is up for grabs, Jesus says. Whoever wants it, it's an invitation. There's no age discrimination. There's no skin color discrimination. Jesus said this is to anybody. This is to anybody who wants to come after me and walk hand in hand with me, and he's got to follow me. He's got to stay in sync with me. He's got to stay close to me. He's got to stay in my word. For, verse 35, for the logic behind what Jesus is saying here, he's always got logic. It's a reasonable faith that we've been called to. The why to all of this is in verse 35. For whosoever will, that's an individual again. That's Daniel. You understand? That's Cubby. He's speaking individually. He's not saying the Chalmers, the Tomasos, the Pasentinos. He's not doing that. He's giving this to you as an individual. This doesn't matter what anybody next to you wants to do. It doesn't matter if after study tonight you say, man, that was insane, and the person says, I got nothing out of it. Who can? Don't let them discourage you. The Holy Spirit spoke to you. Let him set you on fire for his glory tonight. For whosoever will, that's an individual, save his life, he's telling you straight up. You want to save your life, you're going to lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, that's the message, the same shall save it. I hear it so much, especially right now. Pastor, I feel like I'm losing it. I feel like I'm losing it. I feel like I'm losing it. Let it go. Let it rip. Let it go. Lose it, but lose it for the gospel's sake and for his name's sake. You understand? There is that feeling. The older we get, the older I get. I feel it. I feel all the more this. I got to hold it together. I got to keep it together. I got to hold it together. I got to keep it together. All these areas of my life, all these areas of responsibility. Jesus goes like this, man, stop trying to save and preserve and keep face and put on a show. Just let it rip for the glory of God. Let it go. Stop trying to hold on. Stop trying to cling to. Stop trying to put on a facade. Stop being fake and phony and playing church and acting pious. Let it go for my name's sake, Jesus said. And for the gospel's, for the message's sake. That's the logic behind all this, man. Let it go. You don't have to burden yourself with these things. Stop trying to save your life. Stop. You're going to lose it in the process. So sensical here. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel, not just becoming a Looney Tune, not just like checking out mentally, but just, you know, for the gospel and for the glory of Jesus. I'm going to, listen, what he's saying here is there's a calling at stake. What he's saying here is that there's a message to be proclaimed at stake. You guys got platforms I don't have. You got platforms that the person next to you doesn't have, in your neighborhood, in your family, in your workplace, in your school, in your buddy's ear, in your girlfriend's ear, whoever it would be. You guys got platforms I don't have, and vice versa. And what he's saying here is the longer you procrastinate deciding once and for all to be a disciple of Jesus, you're hindering the name of Jesus, which is the healing name, and the gospel of Jesus, which is the good news, from being heralded the way that he wants it to be. The world is in dire need for good news. I feel like Groundhog's Day for the last umpteen weeks right now. I feel like every time me and the team get together to pray for you before you come on Wednesday nights, it's the same conversation. It feels like it's been a long time since there's been something positive on the news before we get here on a Wednesday night to talk about. I feel like it's another shutdown. It's another sickness. It's another whatever, another political thing, whatever it is. And it's constant right now. Do you know that the world is so hungry for somebody to tell them good news? And you know what the good news is? Paul told you, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power unto salvation for all who would believe. The good news, the death and resurrection of Jesus. You don't got to know nothing more. You just tell the world Jesus loves them. Jesus died for their sins, past, present, future. Jesus rose again. Jesus is coming again. He's got a better world. He's got a better kingdom that is coming one day, and that you, whoever you are, could be a part of it. You know that? You know enough. Now get busy. You understand? Because he's saying to us here tonight, the longer we try to save our lives, the longer that we try to keep face, and the longer that we try to fit in. Because what's the point of not being a disciple if you're a Christian? What you're trying to do is ride the line, I'll tell you that. You're trying to have one foot in, one foot out. You're trying to be able to laugh at the jokes at work and still keep your Bible in your glove compartment. You're trying to glance at the picture of porn that he shows you, whoever he is, and still be faithful to your wife. You're trying so hard because you don't want to be ousted. You don't want to be ridiculed. You don't want to be labeled. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what you ladies face, but similar things in your realm. You're trying to stay in with the girls. You're trying to still be a part of whatever the girls do and still go to church. It's very wearisome to raise your hands and bow to this God, the true living God, and to the gods of this world. And it is the most miserable person who seeks to do both. You've got too much Jesus to enjoy the world, and you've got too much of the world to enjoy Jesus, and it stinks. You're ruined for this world if you're in Christ, so you might as well become a disciple. You understand what I'm saying to you? You're ruined for this world. You'll never have fun the way that you once did when you were in sin because your eyes have been open. You've tasted and seen. You've had filet mignon wrapped in bacon. There is nothing out there that's going to compare ever again. That's why backslidden Christians keep coming back. Because they go back, they get duped by the devil, but then they come back, they're like, man, it wasn't what I thought. Of course it wasn't what you thought. If it was so good the first time, you would have never came here to begin with. If y'all are doubting tonight, is it really as good as he's saying it is? Well, what are you doing here? You tell me. I don't know. I haven't been out there in like 17, 18 years. You tell me how good it is. You're here. Wednesday night Bible study. I'm doing what I'm called to do. You're here because you're obviously thirsty. You're obviously hungry. And Jesus is here to minister to you and encourage you and say you might as well become a disciple if you're a believer. You might as well be all that you can be for his glory if you're going to be a part of the kingdom. I don't want to be mediocre. I don't get off the stage and think, you know what, I'm content with my preaching and that's that. Never do I do that. I actually, more times than not, want to punch myself in the face. No, honest. And I go just as hard into Sunday as I did into Wednesday for the glory of God. Because I believe that whatever you do, you should do with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. If you're a school teacher, if you're a welder, if you're a doctor, if you're a mom or dad that stays home with your kid, whatever you do, you put your hand to the plow and you don't look back. You don't look to the left or to the right. Our generation's weak. We're quitters. We can't be that way when it comes to the kingdom. He's speaking something to us. And he's saying, hey, if you're going to enlist, you might as well be in active duty. You might as well get an AK and start blasting the enemy's head. There's a calling here. There's a message here. For what does it profit a man? It's like he's reasoning with us. I believe that he's somewhat reasoning, don't you? What does it say in Isaiah 1:18? Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Does that not blow you away? 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night, what'd you do? God reasoned with me. Nobody in Washington wants to read. They don't care what you got to say. Nobody in Albany really cares what you have to say. Aren't you amazed that God Almighty will reason with you? You can't reach some of these guys' offices if you try. You can call their office a million times, sign petitions, whatever you want to do. You can't reach those people.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.